subject today, how God gets our attention by a restless spirit. How often has a small event changed our lives? Some seemingly so insignificant circumstances, experience, or problems, or joyful occasions took place, and our lives were twisted and turned completely around. Ushers, you may take your seat. What we expected did not happen. Instead, a complete reversal of our plans took place, and our lives changed dramatically. In some cases, our fate and destiny was completely changed. When life-changing events take place in our lives, whether good or bad, this is known as a divine providence. God's providential care and guidance in our lives. God loves us and wants to save us so that we can know the fullness of life. He wants us to know that as we walk about day by day. God wants us to live a victorious life, conquering all the trials and tribulation that confront us and living life to its fullest. He wants us to experience the fullness of his love, joy, and peace. But because of the wickedness of the human heart and the evil and the violence on the earth, God has to use human events to arouse our hearts to turn to him for salvation. God wants our hearts stirred to live for him and to worship him. He wants us to live righteous, just lives, treating others as we want them to treat us. He wants us to love others just as we love ourselves. Divine providence simply means that God loves and cares for this world that he created. The story of Esther is one of the sudden and unexpected twists and turns that happens in life. What is expected does not happen. The unexpected does. Isn't life that way? We do not receive the things a lot of the time that we expect. It's always something different. In this message today, I only have 2 points, and I got these 2 points, and I thought about they teach you in seminary that most messages need at least 3 points to be accepted. And sometimes they say the ideal number of points is 3 or 7. And Dr. Eugene Strickland, no, his name's not Eugene. That's another guy I know named Strickland. But Dr. Strickland at the seminary probably would give me an F on appearance because I only have 2 points. But you use what you got. Amen. Point number one, Mordecai's unexpected honor. Have you ever been tired and wore out and go to bed and you just can't sleep? You lay this way and you don't go to sleep, and then you turn this way, and you still don't go to sleep, then you turn the other way, and you still don't go to sleep, then you turn the other way, and you still just cannot seem to go to sleep. Your mind is running and going, and This is what happened to King Ahasuerus or Xerxes, whichever one you want to call him. He had, they used two different names in there. But he had just come from a banquet that was put on by Queen Esther. And we don't know why he couldn't go to sleep, but he had a sleepless night and he couldn't go to sleep. And so he called what I would call the librarian, the keeper of the records. And he called him, and in my mind, I can see he had a cord running down to his bed, and he reached over there and rung the bell, and then the librarian came in to see what was wrong with him. He said, "I can't go to sleep," said, "but I tell you what you do." He said, "Go to the records and get something and bring it back here to me and just read to me for a while." He did what he was supposed to do. The king kept records of what things that had happened in his reign. And I told the ministers the other week in the office in there, I showed them something. I said, "If you look right over here," I said, "you'll see a list of notebooks. They have something on them." I said, "Those are all the messages that have been preached in this church. Keeping a record of what's going on." I didn't have sense enough to keep them when I first got here, but we got them from 2004 up until now. Got a record of it. And other than that, we have a record of everything that have been done. I'm trying to show you what he was doing in comparison to where we are. Most of the messages that have been preached here since 1998 are either on DVD or VCR. VCRs are so old that, you know, we got to get something to transfer. But my point is to try, I'm trying to show you he couldn't sleep. And so he wanted something to try to put him to sleep. And I guess he thought that the things that had happened were so dull, he'd get tired of hearing it and he'd just fall off to sleep. But he went and got it and he brought it back to him and he started reading. And the place that he started reading was where Mordecai, the Jew that sat in the gate, that was just there. And let me bring you up. I know you're Bible scholars and you know this, but Haman had been appointed prime minister and he was somebody to himself. I know you know somebody else like that. I know you are not like that, but most of us know somebody else that think they are something else. Haman thought he was something else, and he had been appointed prime minister, but Mordecai had done something, had been sitting in the gates. If you go back and read chapter 2, verses 23, 21, 22, and 23 around, you will find where he was sitting in the gates. And he heard two of the chamberlain talking about what they were going to do to the king. They were going to assassinate him. And Mordecai heard this when he was sitting in the gate with the other leaders, and he heard it and he did something about it. He went and told Queen Esther, and Queen Esther told the king, but she didn't tell the king that I found out this. She said, "Mordecai." See, this is why sometimes you need to just work for God and don't expect God to just bless you. "Help me, Holy Ghost. For I finished doing what I'm doing, and I'm doing it because of Mordecai did what he did because it was right. The king should not have been assassinated." And kings in this day and time had a problem. They didn't want nobody that wasn't 100% behind them walking around, especially where they can get to them. If you read the history, you find some kings and some rulers only served for 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months. Because somebody killed them. And it wasn't, all the time it wasn't the enemy. Sometimes it was family. So Mordecai had done something, and he did it because of his love for the king, and he was in a place, and so he did this, and it was recorded in the records. The king, I don't know whether he thought about doing something for him then, But let me tell you what I see God at work. Don't expect God's blessings when you think you ought to get blessed. Just do what you do because you love him. Mordecai did what he did, and he did not receive any reward or any credit or anything. But look here. He's already in the history books. He was in the history books and didn't even know he was there. He just did what he did. He told the right people, forewarned the king that death was on the way. And let me stop right here and try to paint a picture for you about you. You better, if you know death is coming to somebody, you better tell them. You better tell them. I'm glad you asked. I heard you. Who do I know? Anybody that does not have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you need to tell them. Why do I need to tell them? Because death is on the way. Death is coming to them. Can't tell them when or can't tell them where. But if you don't know Jesus Christ before you draw your last breath on this earth, in hell you will lift up your eyes. That's the death that we're talking about. You need to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. You need to forewarn them. That's all Mordecai did. He forewarned the king that death was coming. And then when he forewarned him that death was coming, the king could do something about it. Yeah, just like you can. If somebody tell you about Jesus Christ and you don't do anything about it, they can wash the blood off their hand because they told you. He said for us to, you go and you tell them. You can't make them, but tell them. Tell them, and if they do not receive it, it's not really your fault. But because you tell me one time, and it seemed like I didn't hear you, tell me again. Keep telling them, and this is what we need to do. Mordecai overheard this conversation. That's one thing that we don't like to do. If we know something is wrong, and I know this is my friend right here, and I know he's, I don't want to tell it. He gonna hurt somebody else, and I know it, and I don't tell it. Then tomorrow, he gonna want to hurt me. And somebody else going to hear that, would I want them to tell me? You betcha I would. We don't want to do stuff. We don't want to take responsibility. If Mordecai would not have told, warned the king, he would have been as guilty as they were. Okay. Y'all not feeling me, so... But it doesn't make any difference whether you're feeling me or not. I'm going to still tell you. Because that's what we need to do. Mordecai overheard and he told. Because that's what was right to do. And look, don't get ahead of yourself. Esther told the king. And then the king did something about it. Those two men were hung on a gallows. Because they had wanted to hurt the king. And you cannot hurt the king. The king didn't just take Mordecai's word for it. He investigated and found that it was true. And when he found it was true, he went and did what I said. He hung him. Hung him on a gallows. Because they had done wrong. They had intended to do wrong to the king. See, sometimes people don't get the opportunity to do wrong, but their intent is to do wrong. Some righteousness comes up and it stops them. That's why you need to tell them about Christ. Because if you tell them and you tell them what the Word of God says and they receive it, then it will change what they're going to do. And this is what happened here. Mordecai gave the information to Esther, and Esther gave it to the king, and the king investigated and found out it was right. So therefore, something was done about it to stop the killing of the king. And then this night, as he was being read to, I got to tell you this because I know all of you have read this, but Haman wanted to kill Mordecai. Now, I need to take you back to biblical history here and see if I can get you to see where I am. Haman belonged to a nation of people, Agites, that did not love the Jews. If you go back to Exodus, when they were coming out of Egypt, they were marching along, and at the back part of the march were the older people and the young people and the lame and the maimed. And then when they was coming out, one time the Agites attacked them and killed them. And God said, "I'm going to get them." Not in those words, but that's what it meant, because of what they had done. And he was in this nation of people. Then Saul had a chance to kill them all, but he didn't kill them all. So see. So my thinking, if you're going to kill that tree out there, don't cut it off at the stump. Dig it up. And take the roots out. That's the only way you're going to kill it. Because if you cut it off at the stumps, what's going to happen? Some shoots going to come out. And those shoots are just like the tree. Haman's people were left. And so therefore, because they did not, the Saul and the rest of them, did not do what God had said for them to do. So therefore, he was still there to harass the Jews. His intent, he wanted to kill all of the Jews. I'm treading here, but I got to tread. Haman was a selfish, self-centered person. And this is good. We just installed officers there. Good. Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, don't you think that you are somebody? Anybody that's placed in leadership position, you ought to. I got one in the office in there, but I don't have it right here. Maybe y'all will get the idea. You are nothing but a servant. That's all. That's all. That's all you are, a servant. And if I was in an auxiliary and I wanted to do nothing, I wouldn't let them elect me to an office. Because then I would do something. But my point, what I'm saying is that if you're in an office, a position of leadership, you're supposed to lead. And if you think you're leading and nobody's following you, you're not leading. You're just out for a walk. You're not leading people. You got to have somebody following you in order for you to lead. Just because you be pastor doesn't mean people gonna follow you because you got a towel in front of your name. You have to lead people. You have to show them that they ought to be following you because you're following Christ. Don't follow me for my sake. Follow me because I follow Christ. And if you follow Christ, you don't have to worry about people following you. Somebody that somebody other than you want to follow Christ. And we have to lead and follow Christ so they can follow us. There was a man that lived in this little town that I lived in. His name was Rag. He had a truck and had a tag on each side. Said, "Don't follow Rag because Rag's lost too. Don't follow me because I'm lost." Leadership. And this is what needed to be, what we need. Haman wanted Mordecai. They had a law that any time a higher up or prime minister, somebody come by, you ought to bow. Mordecai would never bow. And it bothered Haman that everybody else would bow but Mordecai. Mordecai wouldn't bow. And I know y'all look like y'all holy and sanctified, but there's some of us that if that was happening to, if everybody was bowing to me except Deacon Brunson and all the rest of you told me he wasn't bowing, that would make me think something. Oh, no, he ought to do it too. And especially if they were supposed to do it according to the law. But Haman didn't do it. Because he believed that you bow to God and serve him. Now the king, he would bow, give reverence to the king. But I don't know whether Mordecai knew he was of that generation, of that nation of people that hated the Jews and that wanted them annihilated. But that's what Haman wanted. So therefore, he put in progress because he was the prime minister. He had the ear of the king. And so he told the king, there's a nation of people that their laws are contrary to yours and they don't want to bow down. So we need to just get away from them. And I tell you what, if you do it, I'll give so much. I forgot it was so many thousand talents of silver that he was going to give to the treasure. And see, the treasure of the nation of Persia it was weak and almost empty because of the wars that they had been in and the people that they had lost and all the tributes that they were not getting. So therefore, Ahasuerus thought, this will supply build my treasure back up. And plus, they were going to take all that stuff the money that they would get from those Jews that they killed, they would have all that. And so Haman was a good man, and he especially wanted to kill Mordecai because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. So he shows up, had a gallows built. I think it said it was 75 feet high. He wanted to hang, and I just get in my mind, there was one person he was going to make sure they were going to hang first, and that was Mordecai. So he shows up early that morning, the same night that the king couldn't sleep. Shows up early the next morning to put his bid in early to the king. And shows up and reading out there, and then he comes, Ahasuerus have him to bring him in to him. And he asks Haman a question. What do you think the king ought to do for a man that he want to show honor? Well, and when I'm selfish and self-centered and I have put myself on a hierarchy, I'm greater than anybody else. Just been named prime minister and the king call you in and ask you what can he do to show somebody honor that he want to show them, honor. What can he do for them? Well, thinking about himself. He was an ambitious man. He had a great ambition for himself. He didn't think of nobody else but himself when the king asked the question. He wanted himself to be honored. And then he said, well, I think king, if you would want to show him honor, let him put on your robe. Let him ride your horse that you rode into town. Put your crown on his head and let one of your other princes ride him through the street, showing him the honor that he so rightly deserves, so everybody else will know that the king honors this man. Knowing, thinking about that, he was thinking about himself. And then after he told the king what he thought that should have been done, the king told him, said, okay, said, what you have said. So go find Mordecai and do that to Mordecai. I can imagine in my mind that Haman was about that big, because he was not thinking about himself. And this is the man that he hated the most of all the people. Didn't like any Jews, but he especially did not like Mordecai. Well, and he wanted to do that to Mordecai. So he had to go find Mordecai and array him in all of the apparel that the king had told him to. Now try to, in your mind, I know y'all love everybody in the whole wide world. But if there's just one person in here can think of somebody that you don't have a whole lot of love for, and you got to ride them in front of everybody else and be hollering, this man has the honor of the king. And everybody know he's on the king's horse, and he has the robe of the king. And so he's riding through town, hollering all of this out because the king said so. Brothers and sisters, I got to leave my notes here now, because I need to tell you that when God is in the work, he doesn't need nobody's permission to do what he needs to be done. Mordecai had done a great deed, and God had kept it from being known. I told you the subject is how God gets our attention on a restless, sleepless night. He got the king's attention. The king had it recorded in the records, but he hadn't thought anything about it. But God, in his infinite time, God got a time watch. He got a time that certain things supposed to happen, and when God's timing, it's going to happen just as God wanted to happen. See, Mordecai had done a deed, and he was a servant of God. He was a child of God. See, sometimes it seemed like that God have walked off from you and left you, and he have forgotten about you. I stopped by to tell you, just be persistent and stay with God, and watch the divine providence of God work in your life. Mordecai, the Bible tells me, and I was reading in the chronological Bible, it said what Mordecai had done happened about 5 years behind, and here he is now. The problem, I forgot about what he done. But see, God does not forget. I keep saying this, y'all. God is not yesterday. He's not tomorrow. He's right now. See, Mordecai's, it might have been 5 years ago, but with God, it was right now. This is what happened to my child, and he did this, and here they are now. He brought it to his mind. That's why, brothers and sisters, you need to read God's word. You need to study God's word, because somewhere in there, I think David said, hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. When you take this word and you hide it in your heart, God will bring it to your remembrance when you need it to be feed you the most. Mordecai had done a great deed for the king and hadn't thought anything about it. But see, God, it does not forget what you do for him. When you serve this God, if you serve him and you serve him from your heart, don't worry about if he's going to forget what you've done. Just do what you do and do it for God and keep right on walking. God will do what he said he would do. The king, I wished I could have been a fly on the wall and got inside of Haman's mind when the king told him, when the king called Mordecai's name, his blood pressure probably went out of the roof. You gonna have to honor this man, and I'm gonna have to do it. Good God Almighty, God will put you in front of your enemies, and he'll make you look good right in front of your enemies. That's why you got to stay true to God. God and serve him and him only. When you serve God, don't worry. When everything seems to be going wrong, don't worry. Just be persistent with God. Stay right there. You never felt so small until you stayed on your knees. If you stay on your knees, you can walk with kings. But if you want to try to stand up with kings, you can't do it. Stay on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry if they seem to neglect you and nobody paying attention to you. Just stay on your knees and stay with God. In God's timing, everything will be all right. Point number two, Haman's unexpected humility. See, God can take them when they're high and bring them down low, and you won't have to do anything but continue to serve God. Can you imagine in your mind how Haman felt? The Bible tells us that when they returned, all he had to do was walking down the streets. But I just believe in my mind that was the longest walk that Haman have ever taken. I just believe it. When he would take a step, he was probably cussing himself. I should have done something to him before myself. And here the king is honoring me, and I got to walk down here with him. He walked, and I thought about when it said in the Bible that when he left, he had his head covered. I imagine in my mind, he said, I got to walk down this same street and with my head. I walked down it with my head uncovered. And now I got to walk down it again. Them same people are going to see me in, and they're going to ask me, wasn't you the one that was walking Haman, Mordecai through the street? And they're going to know who I am. And all of my friends are going to know what I had to do. See, God will take those that have exalted themselves and bring them down. See, if you exalt yourself, you can bring yourself down. But if God put you up, all the world can't bring you down. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And if Jesus lift you up, can't nobody bring you down. Haman was humiliated because he thought a whole lot of himself. That's why, brothers and sisters, you need to think more of others than you do yourself. Love others just as you love yourself. The Bible tells us that if Haman would have had respect for the Jews, then it might not have happened to him. When he got home, he told his wife, and the Bible said all his friends, what had happened to him. And his wife told him, and this is the gist of what she said, if Mordecai is a Jew and you go on against him, you have just began to fall. Brothers and sisters, I stopped by to tell you, that's why I try to walk everything I know about God. Walk with him, because if you walk with him, ain't nobody do you any harm. May seem like it, may look like it, they might act like it, but you, what did MC Hammer say? You can't touch this. That's what I feel about walking with God. You can't touch it, because I belong to God. It's just like water on a duck's back. You don't ever see a duck get wet. He can go all the way down to the bottom, and when he come back up, he's dry. You can't touch this, because I'm shield. I got a shield around me. It's called protection. That's what the devil told about Job. He said, you got a hedge built up around it, and I can't touch him. If God did it for Job, he'll do the same thing for you. He'll put a hedge around me. See, his downfall had already started. I just wonder, y'all. I have to wonder this because of what the Bible said. It said his wife said your downfall is coming. Now, if he's a Jew, it's coming. She probably slipped off to a woman's mission meeting where they were talking about Jews and this God that they serve, because Haman, how you think he would have felt if he knew she felt like that about the Jew?
She had an opinion about him. If he's a Jew, this is just the beginning of your fall. Well, that's all my notes, y'all. But I got to go a little bit farther here because I'm there. And Haman messed up. The last verse, when they read that last verse, that last verse, it takes into the next two or three chapters. But it said he went to the chamberlain came and he had to rush back to the banquet. And he went to the banquet. See, Haman, I can't leave this man alone because I don't want none of us to be like Haman. Haman thought he was somebody. He had been invited to a banquet with just the queen and the king and himself. Now, don't you think too hard of Haman. If First Lady Michelle invited you to a banquet that just her and President Obama was going to be there, wouldn't you, when you walked in, just... And you've already been to one banquet, and now the chamberlain is coming telling you there's another one, and you got to go to it too. Just the three of us at a banquet. But this time, the king had told Queen Esther, said, you got to want something for having this banquet for him. I said, what do you want? I said, whatever it is, said, I'll give it to you, even if it's half of the kingdom. Time out. Remind me where I am. I got to say this. Esther got to be queen. And you can't make me believe, the Bible doesn't say, so you'd have to make me believe that she was the most beautiful woman there at that when they auditioned to be the queen. You can't make me believe she was. And I tell you why. Because she walked with God. And see, when you walk with God, God will make you look so good. No matter how bad you may look, when you walk with God, he'll make you look good. Esther probably wasn't the most beautiful woman there. She probably didn't have the best figure there. She probably wasn't. But God made her look good. And the king couldn't resist her. She came before the king and didn't have an audience. She wasn't invited, but she came before the king. She said, if I perish, let me perish. And she went before the king. And when the king lifted up his eyes and saw, he raised it up. See, God will make you look good. He'll make people be receptive to you if you're walking with him. So now, okay, we read. I'm picking back up. Where am I? He was invited to this second banquet. And then when he get to this one, this time, Queen Esther tells the king about what Mordecai have done. But she didn't first tell him that Mordecai was the one that did it. She said, they want to kill these people. And they're all over the kingdom. And he said, who want to do this? She didn't call his name, but he said, he's in our midst. And when he said he was in our midst, the king knew that there was nobody else there but him and the queen and Haman. And they was in the chamber, in the court. And so he got up and walked out the room, and Queen Esther was sitting on the bed. And he went outside, stood out there a few minutes and come back inside, and Haman was sitting on the bed with the queen. And the first thing the king thought, I guess you're going to rape my wife right here in the kingdom. And he carried him out and hung him. So now, when God is in the work, things will happen the way God will get the glory. They was going to kill all the Jews. But then they turn around and send another letter out. The king had them to send another letter out saying the Jews could defend themselves. And they defended themselves. And they celebrate that day. Today is called Purim. They celebrate that feast today in the Orthodox Jews because God saved the Jews on that particular day. Because a king had a restless night. Now, my question to you is, how does God get your attention? Because everything that happened in your life, don't put God out of it. Sometime when you're having a sleepless night, get up and talk to God. Get up and read your word. Get up and go in your prayer closet when you're having a sleepless night. God has ways of getting our attention. He got King Ahasuerus' attention because he could not sleep that night. Don't think everything has to do with you. Think about somebody else sometime. He thought about himself, but then when he got to reading him the word of God, he started thinking about something that he had not done. See, God's what you do for God does not go unnoticed. You've done something for God and you probably have forgotten about it and don't think anything about it. Just keep working and doing work that God would have you to do. That's what Mordecai did. He was sitting in the gate every day doing what he was supposed to do, looking out for the nation of Israel and serving a true and a living God. To somebody else, you might not be doing anything, but what you do, they don't need to understand it. You need to be serving God. You need to be walking with God. Doing the things that God would have you to do. And when you're doing that, everything will be all right. I got to get out your way. But let me see if I can tell you something else that God have put on my heart. Brothers and sisters, we as a nation of people have got to come together as one body of believers. We can't walk down this road by ourselves. We need somebody to walk down this road with us because I can only see in the direction that I'm going. I can only be at one place at a time. We have to work so God can use us. Haman was doing what he did, was doing because of a belief that he had in his mind. It was in his mind and in his heart. But you got to understand that what God have for you to do, you need to be busy about doing it. Hank Mordecai couldn't have done what he did for God if he hadn't have been praying and talking to God. See, the Bible doesn't tell us everything that Mordecai did. It doesn't tell us that at the hour of prayer that he was praying. But as close as he walked with God, he had to be in touch with God. Brothers and sisters, you got to spend some quiet time with just you and God. If the only time you worship and serve God is when you come in here on Sunday morning, I tell you, your prayer life is not worth a nickel with a hole in it. You need to stay on your knees in prayer. You need to pray all the time. The hour of prayer for some of us need to be every hour of the day. When as long as I'm thinking, and some of us think that I don't want you to go away from here with the impression that you got to be somewhere on your knees, and that is a good posture to pray in, but you can pray driving down the road, sitting at home, washing dishes, washing clothes. You just got to pray all the time. I told somebody the other day that prayer is an attitude. You got to get an attitude of prayer. You got to be thinking prayer all the time. And these young people, if you don't study before you go in the room to take a test, don't say, "Lord, help me," when you get ready to go in the room to take the test. You better have studied before. If you studied before time to go in the room to take the test, then you can ask God to help you. But if you haven't done something yourself, don't expect God to do it all. And the same thing go for grown folks. If you got a situation in your life and you haven't prayed and talked to God about it, when it start to get worse, don't call God. Just talk to the same one you've been talking to all all the time, but talk to God. If you talk with God, God will stop by to see you. When trouble rises, he'll be right there. I got to quit, y'all, but every now and then, when trouble comes my way, don't know where to go, don't know what to do, I think about old man Hezekiah. He turned his face to the wall as he started to leave. He reminded God, God, I've been true to you. I've served you all the days of my life, and now I'm on my bed of affliction. God, I need you to stop and see about me. And if you call God, I promise you he'll answer. He won't leave you by yourself, but you got to know him, and you got to know him for yourself. You call him. Grandmama can pray for you, but you got to pray for yourself. You got to call God. You got to call him so much that when you call him, he knows it's you. He just pick up the phone, and you said, God, he said, Baggy, what do you want? What do you need? You've been calling him so much, but I got to call him because can't nobody else help me, because where I am now, I just need God in my life. I need him every day of my life, because he done brought me from where I used to be to where I am now. I have my sleepless nights. I have my restless days, but I'm depending on God. He's my God. He's all I need. Don't need nothing else. I just need God in my life, and he's there because he promised me that he would not leave me, not forsake me, and I'm trusting in his word. God, you've been good to me. You got my attention, God, and I'm listening to your word. Help me to lead your people where you would have them to go. Lead me so I can lead them. God is an awesome God. All you got to do is just call him. Call him. If you call him, he'll answer. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know he'll answer. I know he'll answer. He will answer. He will answer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For just being God all by yourself. Woke me up this morning, bright early. Sent me on my way. Before my foot hit the floor, I said, Lord, I thank you for letting me see this day. Don't know what the day holds, but I know who holds the day. And that's all that matters. I know. I don't know a whole bunch of stuff, but I know who holds the day. I know. Because of where he brought me from. God's an awesome God. How does God get your attention? Sleepless nights. I'm through. But if the Holy Spirit stay the same, the subject next week will be how do God get your attention? By others. How do God get your attention? By others. 2 Samuel chapter 12. That's next week's message. 2 Samuel chapter 12. How God gets our attention by others. We extend an invitation. Thank you. I'm good, baby. God would get your attention one way or the other. Sometimes it's a sleepless night. Sometimes it's a wayward child. Or it's a husband that won't do right. Or it's a wife that's contrary. Or it's a preacher that won't live the way God would have him to live. How would God get your attention? Has he gotten your attention? And you want to come to him? This is your time. Come to Christ just as you are.